And that is O Christ, our true and only light. And you are listening to this on Tuesday, January the 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. And we weren't here yesterday, so you heard a repeat broadcast with our good friend, the Reverend Peter Kurowski. And today we have another good friend with us, and that's the Reverend Mark Smith.
Hi, Tom. Are you ready for the snow?
No. Are you?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Well, I asked Buzz, 2 to 4 inches. He thinks more towards 4, but he says it's difficult to figure out a winter storm. So if it's 2 inches, that means there'll be 1,400 accidents. Boy, I tell you. When you don't have a city that has a lot of snow, a lot of people don't know what to do when they...
Well, I went to high school in Detroit, and they knew how to handle snow, let me tell you. We hardly ever had a snow day.
Yeah. Yeah, and when they have snow days, then they keep adding it on in the summer.
Yes,
nobody likes
right.
that at
yeah.
all. Oh, Christ, our true and only light. It's written by Johann Hermann, but who's the translator?
Catherine Winkworth.
Yeah.
Our friend Catherine Winkworth.
Yeah.
God bless her.
My favorite translator. Because yes. she does so good in bringing from the original. I'm quite sure that Johann Hermann was Deutsch, German.
It sounds like it.
So it had to be going over to that. This is kind of interesting that this becomes the hymn of the day for this Sunday after the Epiphany, but what category is it under?
Mission and witness. Well, there is that emphasis in Epiphany. You know, the wise men. In other words, Jesus came not just for the Jews, but he came for all peoples, for the Gentiles, the wise men coming from the East. And so there is a strong missionary emphasis in Epiphany.
Now, this particular one is going to be about Jesus, and we're talking about that tomorrow, being rejected at Nazareth.
Yes.
Yes. So how does hometown. Mission and witness work there?
Well, I'm trying to think. The passage that he read from Isaiah talks about him being a light to all people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is the primary mission and witness, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. But would you go ahead and read the first stanza of O Christ, our true and only light?
Yes, it's a beautiful hymn. O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice.
Now, there appears to be two categories of people that this first stanza is directed to. The first one are those who
sit in night.
So who would they be?
Those that are in the darkness.
Right.
I mean, and then it also talks about those afar.
Who would that be?
Those are maybe pagans that live in foreign lands. I don't know.
Well, actually, if you take a look at the Pentecost sermon at the end of it, he baptized not only the children, but those who were near and far. And the afar is a technical way that the Bible uses to talk about Gentiles.
About the Gentiles,
yeah.
Right.
So Christ is our true and only light. Actually, there's three categories of people. Who is our?
That would be us Christians.
That's right. Members of the church. And God cannot put into language really what heaven is like, his thoughts are like. So he's always using metaphors that we would be somewhat familiar with. So if Jesus is light, then that is good for those who sit in night, in darkness. And to be in darkness, I don't know, have you ever been in a cave or?
Yes.
You have?
Yes, I've been in. I remember vacationing out in Colorado and going into a cave where the cave tour guide actually turned out any lights in that cave.
Wow.
You could not see your hand in front of your face. It was that dark.
Wow.
I think it was called, the Cave of the Winds, I think is what the name of the cave. But I'll tell you, utter darkness.
Wow. Cave of the Winds. You know what that word wind is? Pneuma.
Yes.
Which is spirit.
Right.
Yeah. So people cannot see themselves in darkness. So that's why proper preaching always is law and gospel. What the law does is give them sight of what they are really like in the eyes of God.
That's right. It's like that mirror that reflects our sins. It shows us
right
what terrible, poor, miserable sinners we are.
See, that's kind of interesting, because in darkness you can't even see yourself, you just said.
Right.
So the law is actually, as you indicated, a mirror,
yeah,
to show us what we are like. You're still in darkness.
It casts lights on our sin.
That's right.
It reveals our sin.
And so what we want is to enlighten those who sit in night. What does enlighten mean?
Well, we are enlightened by God's word.
Yep. So bring them to faith.
Bring them to faith.
Yes. And in your fold with us rejoice. Now here we go into another metaphor. The word fold.
Fold, that's the sheepfold.
Exactly. So, this is important to understand that the metaphors in the Bible are used to help describe God's attitude towards you. And you can't take them too far.
That's right. Otherwise, they break down after a while.
Exactly. So, let's go with stanza 2.
Fill with the radiance of your grace the souls now lost in error's maze. Enlighten those whose inmost minds some dark delusion haunts and blinds.
It seems like Johann Hermann is doing is continuing the theme of light and darkness.
Yes, here. Indeed he is.
So when we think about the radiance of your grace, what would be a synonym for radiance? Try and explain it to, say, a
radiance,
child.
The glow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which means you're getting light again. The radiance of your grace. The souls now lost in error's maze. Okay, you said you've been in a cave. Have you ever been in a maze?
You read about these, you get these advertisements about these corn mazes.
Exactly.
You know, out in rural countries, especially around the Halloween time, you know. Hollywood is sort of a maze.
Yes. In fact, I'm amazed.
A maze of darkness, right?
But that's interesting. Have you ever been in a corn maze?
No, I don't think I have.
How does it work?
I have no idea. I've never been in one, as I just said. I imagine you probably pay a price to, and I don't know, do they take you inside and they let you try to find your way out of it? I have no idea how that works.
Yes,
the corn is growing so tall that you can't really see, and you just kind of have to find your way out like a, almost like, you know, you see these rats in these experiments.
That's right.
See if the rat can find its way out.
I can find my way out pretty fast.
I'm sure you could.
No, I would take a 7-foot person with me. And he would just look ahead. Yes. So we've got, you're in a cave, if you're an unbeliever. You're in a maze. And Jesus is not the only light, but particularly, he's the only one that can get you out of the maze.
That's right.
And what's the metaphor used in Luke 15 with the parable there of the lost
sheep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the metaphor there used?
Well, the sheep is lost.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm told that, you know, sheep, it's a good illustration, because I'm told that sheep cannot, they don't have the sense to retrace their steps. If they get lost in a canyon, yeah, or a ravine somewhere, they do not have the sense to retrace their steps. And they really are, you just have to go get them.
In New Guinea, they don't have sheep. So they changed it to Jesus being a pig herder.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't work. Because pigs are smart.
Pigs are smart, right?
Yeah. Where sheep are really dumb. So, see, that's another metaphor. For God to refer to us as sheep means that, apart from a shepherd, you don't have any protection against wolves or bears or anything like that. But notice, we're hardly through the hymn and we've got all kinds of metaphors being talked about. Darkness and a maze. Why are unbelievers in a maze, according to stanza two?
According to stanza two, let's see, they're lost in error's maze because enlighten those whose inmost minds some dark delusion haunts and blinds. Now, they're deluded.
Yes. What would be the primary delusion from a law gospel point of view?
By nature, we're spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God.
And how do we think we're going to get to heaven?
How do we think we're going to get to heaven?
And somebody who's...
Well, they think they may make it. If they believe in heaven at all, they may think that they can attain it themselves.
Yes.
By their own abilities.
And see, that's the delusion.
Yes.
That haunts and blinds.
It really is.
Outside of Christianity, I don't know a single religion that doesn't have that delusion.
Yeah, if they believe...
They all believe that...
If they believe in an afterlife...
Yeah, then the way you get to it is by some work that you're supposed to be doing. And if you're not doing it, then you got a problem. And that's why you would be in the dark delusion that haunts and blinds. Stanza three.
Oh, gently call those gone astray, that they may find the saving way. Let every conscience sore oppressed in you find peace and heavenly rest.
Now, who's that? Those who've gone astray.
Well, that would be Christians that have
that's
fallen
what I think
from the
too.
Faith.
Yeah, yeah. Can you say that unbelievers have gone astray?
No, they, if they formerly were believers.
Yeah, if they formerly were believers.
Let's get this straight. Can you go astray and still be in the faith? Let's clear that up for our listeners. Can you go astray and still be in the faith?
Can you
be on the brink?
You can be involved in going astray, but until you get to that point of unrepentance, you can still be in the faith.
Mm-hmm, right. Until the Holy Spirit withdraws from you.
That's why even in our task of excommunication, we have a bunch of procedures to follow.
Several steps.
To make sure that the one who's gone astray has really fallen from the faith.
Right. If they're persistent and obstinate and...
they don't consider it
unrepentant.
Sin. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will not listen to God's word. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, we're going to be talking about that today. I'm at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet at 11 a.m., and we're going to be taking a look at the woman, the child, and the devil out of Revelation 12.
Well, that should be interesting.
Yes, and we're going to be talking about those who go astray, etc. Revelation is really, according to Dr. Brighton, one of our professors, one of the easiest books to understand if you have the code. And the code is the Old Testament, of course.
Yeah, God rest him. He just passed away, as we know. And,
right.
Boy, he always had an excellent class on Revelation. He was known for that.
Yeah, I didn't take it till after I had left the seminary. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't preaching on Revelation. But after I took his class, boy, I had Bible studies on it and preached.
Very good.
So gently call those gone astray. I like that word, gently. Call those gone astray. Sometimes there are those who don't deal gently.
And they
people.
Have a way of scattering the sheep, too. If they're too harsh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to be as winsome as you possibly can so you don't get in the way of God's Holy Spirit.
That's correct. Although you do have examples, Jesus, how winsome is this to call the Pharisees, your father is a devil, to say to his best friend, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes. That's right.
So
he didn't mince words with the Pharisees and scribes.
I just had a discussion last night on the phone with one of our radio listening audience who feels that our number of pastors who don't really proclaim the word of God, especially the law, in its severity, because they're afraid to divide the congregation.
Oh, yes. I think pastors struggle with that. They don't want to step on anyone's toes because they don't want to lose any members. And
so, like, on the abortion issue, they'll hardly ever mention it, but what did you do at your church in regard to pro-life?
Well, you know, we've always been a solid pro-life congregation. We didn't do anything specific this year, but
before you
years ago, we had those crosses that were planted in front of our church.
How did you decide the number of them?
Oh, we just used the whole kit. There was a kit that was provided by Lutherans for Life here in Missouri.
Yeah.
And we planted all the crosses. We got some positive comments.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to do more. We need to do more in our congregation as far as standing up for life. I'll be the first to admit that. This is the month for that, January, and we need to do more for that.
I know yesterday was ML King's Day.
Yes.
Often when I would do a sermon, if I mentioned him, it would be because of his strong pro-life stand. He was really a pro-life.
Was he strong pro-life?
Yes, he was.
Well, good for him.
Martin Luther King, yes. Stanza 4.
Shine on the darkened and the cold. Recall the wanderers to your fold. Unite all those who walk apart. Confirm the weak and doubting heart.
You know, there's five more metaphors here.
Shine.
On the
darkened,
those who are darkened,
and the cold,
and then they're referred to as wanderers
to your fold,
and then there are those who walk apart, and then they are the weak, and finally the doubting heart.
Yes,
now see,
you're right. This hymn is filled with metaphors.
A lot of people don't realize, I think, that God is unable to really give us words in our language. When Paul had that vision, he said, I don't have any words that can describe what he saw. So almost everything, like for instance, even the Trinity, we borrow things from families, that God is the Father.
Son.
Jesus is the only begotten Son.
Right.
Yes. And the Holy Spirit, there isn't really a family thing there because he's the sanctifier, you know. But again, as a parent, you know, takes care of the children and sanctifies them in the one true faith. So these are important, and a pastor needs to be aware because somebody can be cold, but they may not have a doubting heart. In other words, somebody
you mean
just,
cold personality wise?
They don't hardly attend church and
oh,
stuff.
Yes, I see.
When you go visit them, they say they believe all this stuff. And in other words, there's different categories of delinquents, people who don't attend church. In some churches, because of the non-use of traditional liturgy, pastors will tell you that a regular attendee is somebody who comes once a month. Whereas in our day, of course, it was every week.
Oh, yes.
Except for police, nurses, and this sort of thing. So the pastor's task is to see what metaphor best fits the person. Are they an outright unbeliever? Or are they instead just cold? Or are they just wandering from the fold, and why?
Or are they just lazy?
Yeah, that all can fit in this. All right, the last stanza.
That they with us may evermore such grace with wandering thanks adore, and endless praise to you be given by all your church in earth and heaven.
Yeah, if you look up at the previous verse, it talks about wanderers, but in this one, it is talking about wandering. Well, when you pronounce that, it sounded like wanderers, you said again.
Oh, wondering. Wondering.
Yes.
Thanks.
Such grace with wondering thanks adore. What does that mean?
Such grace with wondering thanks. Well, we wonder at his grace.
Yes.
I mean,
it's a mystery.
Yes.
Like you take the Lord's Supper. You can't explain that.
No.
To a rational person.
All we can do is take his words.
Yes.
At face value.
You can, again, use metaphors.
Right.
For example, you can compare it to things. The burning bush.
The burning bush.
God isn't a bush, but he was in with and under that. God isn't bread or wine, but he is in with and under. In fact, Sunday I made the point, and you can see eyebrows were raised at the congregation I was at.
I bet they were. They always are.
Oh, yes.
When you
I
walk
was talking
in.
About the Lord's Supper. I said, we Lutherans don't believe that the bread becomes body or the wine becomes blood. And they all looked.
I'll bet they did.
Because by and large, even Lutherans think like Roman Catholics.
Right.
Transubstantiation of
right.
the bread.
Yeah.
But then I made the point, it's not therefore that we therefore deny that we're receiving his body and blood, but we understand that in with and under, somehow,
right.
the bread and wine is the true body and blood of Christ.
We don't try to explain it.
No.
It's a mystery.
Roman Catholics have transubstantiation where they think the actual essence of bread and wine disappear and are replaced by the essence of Christ's body and blood. But that's contradicted by 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul says, is not the
bread which we
break
is
the
it
body.
Not the communion of the,
yes.
is it not the commingling of the body of Christ?
Yeah,
right?
Koinonia is the word
right.
used there, which means, as you said, a
communion.
Commingling or a coming together there. So it's always fun to get eyebrows up.
Yes, you love to shock people, don't you, Tom?
Or come up with words in the Hebrew that nobody's ever heard before.
Hapax legomena, you mean?
Well, that actually is Latin.
It's the only time you'll find that word in the
whole Bible.
In the whole Bible, right.
Yeah. Remember last week I made
yes,
up a
you're,
word.
You're, yes, you're, let's see, what was that word again?
I can't even remember.
It was for behind, but what?
Oh, that's right.
Aftertaste.
Back taste. That was bajos tatastos. Oh, boy.
Sounds like something you picked up from Kazakhstan.
Yeah. So, when you hear the message, and that is gracious for the Holy Spirit to create faith in you, then you wonder. Is there a hymn with wonder in it? It's just in the back of my mind.
Let's see. I wonder as I wonder.
Yeah.
Under the Stars? It's a Christmas hymn.
I think so, yeah. And endless.
Oh, let's see. There's got to be some hymns with wonder in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just can't think of any right now. And endless praise to you be given by all your church in earth and heaven.
It's the whole communion of saints.
Yes.
Church triumphant as well as the church militant.
The Greek word for church.
Ecclesia.
Yeah, that comes from two Greek words. To call out.
Yeah. To call out, right.
So you're born in the world, the kingdom of Satan, and what God does, he calls you out. Just excellent. So you're calling out your congregation to worship yeah. when?
We're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. There you
That's
have
right.
another metaphor.
No, no. Yeah, these metaphors
yes.
work all the time.
They're all over. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, we would love to have you. We have a service Sunday morning, of course, at 9 a.m. In fact, this is Christ Community Lutheran School Sunday at Prince of Peace. We're
affiliated with the school.
With Christ Community Lutheran School, and we're inviting our pre-K families and
how many children are in the school?
We've got about 30 kids. We got 30 kids in our pre-K. Oh, we've got well over, I think, over 500 in the school.
Wow.
400 or 500, something like that.
But they're at different locations.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And your church has what level?
We have the pre-K. We have a section of the pre-K at our facility.
Yeah. Excellent.
We've got about 30 kids. And that's Sunday at 9 a.m. We also have a Saturday night service at 5 p.m. We'd love to have you at Prince of Peace out in Crestwood.
And when Lent starts?
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, and that'll be on Wednesday night.
Right, Wednesday night. We're going to do a series on the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, excellent. All right, I'm going to be in Emmanuel Olivet, 11 a.m., 9733 Olive. And tomorrow on the readings.
Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.